The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back here on the hot plate, Stephen Fishback.
Wow, what an exciting merge episode. What a great episode of television. You know, like, this is why we're fans of this show. Just crazy TV, fantastic characters, big personalities battling it out, drama, thrills, you know, mysterious trips in the night.
Yeah. No, this
bad
was
bad play,
tonight.
Good play. Yeah.
This was a peak for Ghost Island. I hope that there are higher highs, but I honestly don't see how this is possible. I mean, I think that this is an episode that we talk about for years. The Ballad of Chris Noble tonight comes to an end.
Oh my God, the rapped ballad. Yeah, how you got to you're a good impromptu rapper, Rob. Why don't
you often say about me?
Why don't you give him a little send off? Yes, in verse
later in the show. Stay tuned for that. So yeah. So much to do tonight. So glad to have you guys on board. Very excited to talk with you, Stephen, about everything that we saw tonight here at the Survivor Merge. A lot of interesting decisions were made and many by Chris Noble, but some by other players.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of like bad choices by Chris Noble. Sort of at every step of the way, he made bad choices. But it was interesting. They were interesting choices. Yeah. And certainly worthy of discussion. And they weren't like transparently bad at the time, right? Like, I didn't know who was going home and at Tribal. I thought there was a chance Wendell was going home. And I've been saying all season that Wendell might win. But I really thought that this episode that he could be going home.
Yeah, I thought that Libby could have been going home. I did think
I thought Libby could be going home.
Chance. That it was going to be Libby. She had that one thing about how, like, well, I know I'm safe tonight. And then we went right to conversation about Libby. And I thought that they were maybe setting us up for the okie doke. But no, Chris Noble goes home. So a lot to talk about. He will join us again on a must listen exit interview coming up on Thursday morning. Be on the lookout for that. And then we've got another great week of podcasts coming up. Hannah Shapiro will be here in the studio with me. We had a great recap podcast last season. She'll be back to talk about everything from the merge. She's already texting me how excited she is to talk about this episode.
And
on Saturday, that I am going to be having a very special guest here that from the original or the reboot of Australian Survivor, Nick Yadanza is going to be here, Stephen.
Oh, I'm outraged. You're going to have, I wanted to be there for the meeting of the faces.
Yes, yes.
I wanted to see it first. Now all of America is going to get to see you in this, like, it's like, you know, that classic Marx Brothers, like, mirror routine where they look exactly the same. Like, who is who?
That's what everybody says. That's what everybody says. So
it's going
to
be like,
we will be able to, so hopefully that people will be able to tell us apart somehow.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I think it's going to be a mystery. You should do like one of those, like, I don't know, so one of those things where people can't tell you apart.
Yeah, maybe we'll sit in the opposite chairs and then nobody will know. So, all right, Stephen. So, so much to get to, of course, for the podcast. So get your questions in hashtag RJP or post your questions here in the chat room as we are off and running. See, my big question out of this tribal council, how on earth did Chris Noble not play the immunity idol? Is it
truly God.
Cursed? Is it truly cursed? Should we cut JT some slack and not telling him all the time what a bad run he had in these other seasons?
I think that's fair. I think the guy who's got, you know, $1 million in his bank account, you can probably cut him a little slack.
Still?
Probably more. It's been a crazy couple of years. He won that in 2008, and, you know, or I guess 2009, and then put it in the market. Like, he's probably got more than that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see when the JT audit comes through, Stephen. We'll wait for that. But in the meantime, how did Chris Noble not play Community Idol?
He heard Dominic shouting his name at the voting confessional so loud that it sent Kellen bug-eyed. I mean, it was crazy. And then Dominic plays his legacy advantage, which, like, you know, regardless of the fact that Dominic got zero votes, was definitely the right decision, right? You agree with that?
What for Dominic to play the legacy advantage?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, there was no sense in holding it. It's one of these things. It's almost the same decision as Chris Noble, where yeah. that it's a thing that is only valid for
at one other
two tribal councils, and you're at the first of those two tribal councils, and you know that people are trying to vote for you. So they're just like Dominic, who ultimately didn't get any votes at this tribal council, used it correctly. It's just that it's so insane that he would not have played the immunity idol. Yes, you mentioned he audibly hears that Dominic is casting a vote for him. That there is the point. Dominic plays his legacy advantage. So his whole plan was putting the votes on Dominic, the person that he was putting the votes on. And yes, maybe he thinks it's a split vote. Oh, okay, Wendell is going home. But he has this little idol that can only be played at one of two tribal councils.
And he knows at least like he knows that probably Wendell's voting for him too. Like you have to be so here. Like, you know, you talk about people with like crippling insecurity. I feel like Chris has crippling security. You know, he's like got crippling self-confidence. Yeah. Crippling self-confidence. Like he's too confident to like function.
Yeah. I don't have no idea what that's like.
Yeah, I know. But it's funny, like, because normally self-confidence is a good thing, but he's so self-confident that he's incapable of even conceiving of the fact that people might not do exactly what he wants them to do. And there's that great scene at the water well, which I really loved because I wrote it down. Chris, you know, when after the immunity challenge, when Chris walks everybody over to the water well, you know, the first thing he says is like, I have a question. What's everybody thinking? Right? Sounds like a great way to start a conversation. Does he wait to hear what everybody's thinking? He does not. He immediately tells them like what the plan is. We do this and this and this and this. And then he says at the end of it, I just want everybody to be on that page. I mean, how do you guys feel? Like, it's hilarious. Like he knows he's supposed to ask the question of how other people are feeling, but he doesn't like actually care or listen to it at all.
Yeah. And anytime you're addressing a group of 10 people Perfect. On Survivor with a plan, you're probably doing something wrong.
Yeah. Well, but it's like, I don't necessarily fault him for like not being subtle in his strategy. I more fault him for the enormous mistakes, like not playing the idol.
Yeah. And on top of it all, like this was not a like well executed blindside by any stretch. Like I do not understand what Dominic's play was there at Tribal Council. Now, again, he died. They got off easy. That they didn't know that Chris had an idol. So Dominic starts going into the whole story of why I don't trust Chris. I mean, I would think that the strategy, you know, buy the book and maybe say, okay, throw the book out the window. And maybe the best way to play is to be totally unpredictable. But you would think when you are trying to blindside somebody, you wouldn't open up the tribal council, calling them out and really talking about how tonight is going to be this mano-a-mano showdown because that person could have the idol.
Right. I mean, I hear that. It seemed like, and maybe it was because the entire episode had been this drumbeat of Dominic versus Chris. It certainly seemed like camp life was Dominic versus Chris. You know, one thing I liked about Dominic was that he didn't pretend, you know, he didn't pretend that this wasn't happening. And, you know, when Wendell pulled Dominic and Chris aside and they had their sit down, it's not like Dominic was like, hey, let's be best friends. He said, you know, he said to Wendell, I'm sorry, to Chris, we don't like each other. You know, it's too bad. We got off on the wrong foot, but let's at least temporarily put this aside. Let's go at each other later. Let's temporarily put this aside so that we can deal with these Malolos. And, you know, I felt like that was a really strong pitch because it wasn't let's be best allies from now on. It was like, let's do something right now and then settle our beef later.
You know, honestly, I actually didn't like the way that Dominic handled that. It wasn't like, hey, let's reset relations. Let's start over. It was sort of like, hey, we can go kill each other later, but right now let's work together. And I do think I thought that Chris did a bad job of walking away from the deal. But I think that the answer on Survivor is always yes. So that Dominic did not present things in a way to Chris that was getting him at least to the point where he could have felt like that Chris was going to, that was going to be an acceptable offer to Chris. And Chris didn't feel like that it was in his best interest to even go along with what Dominic was pitching. So I kind of feel like that they both did a bad job for all of Wendell's ambassadorship. I felt like that both of those guys, did a bad job there.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I just completely disagree with you. No, I think that, I mean, it's interesting that was your point of view, because I understand that. But to me, it would just ring so false if someone came over to me and was like, let's be best allies now. Let's totally reset things. You know, these guys have been going at each other and plotting against each other and antagonizing each other for 22 days now, for 3 weeks. You know, I feel like if Dominic had gone over to Chris and said, let's totally reset, let's be friends, there's no way Chris would buy that. And that's why I thought Dominic's honesty in the situation.
Why would he go along with, hey, let's just get a couple of people out of the game so it would be easier for me to vote you out in two votes?
Well, I mean, only if you think that's, you know, only if, you know, for Chris, that's necessarily the case, right? I mean, Dominic has had more recent relationships with both Donathan and Libby, right? Two of the Malolos. I guess Laurel and Chris have a relationship from Inua. And then who's the fourth who I'm forgetting? Michael. Michael doesn't have any relationship with Chris. So there's no real reason for Chris to necessarily think he's got like some edge on the Malolos that he can use against Dominic. I mean, maybe he does. And I'd be very curious to hear when you speak to him, if that's why he didn't go along with Dominic's plan, or it was just purely, I don't like Dominic and I'm not buying what you're selling.
Yeah. So I certainly can see why Chris would not think that it'd be in his best interest. Like, I think that his move was that he was thinking, hey, I don't want any part of working with you guys. I'd rather go try and build social bonds with the other 10 players that are in the game over there. And he went right over and joined them all socially. I thought that his instincts were probably the correct ones of, okay, I can't trust these guys. I'm against them no matter what. But I think that he should have at least placated them and not told them, hey, no, I'm coming for you guys no matter what. And then also he did not have the social grace to be able to pull off turning the other 10 players against these two guys, which the show has done a good job of establishing are very likable and have much better social connections than Chris had.
Yeah. Right. I think regardless of how you think Dominic played that situation, we can agree Chris played it terribly and just being like not even being able to look Dominic in the eye and just being like, I'm not doing that.
I just don't think that that's such a great offer. Like, I feel like that if the offer was like, hey, come on, let's let bygones be bygones and let's run the table. We can do this. Let's let the past be the past. We can get together. I feel like there's a chance that that's more interesting to him than saying, hey, let's work together for a couple of votes. Cause I mean, we'll kill each other soon, just not right now.
Right. I hear you. I just to me, the actual question of this episode, and I'm really curious to hear what you think about it, is why everybody else does this. You know, I mean, Libby says it best. Libby says, Chris isn't going to lie. Whatever he tells you, he's probably going to do it. And in that sense, he kind of reminded me of like an early coach character. You know, he's cocky, he's a little bossy, but he's so straightforward about his game plans that he's like the kind of guy you want on Survivor when so many other people are trying to deceive you. So like I get why Dominic and Wendell were after him, but why did the rest of the group go along with him with that plan?
Yeah, it's really interesting. We have no idea what it was like to live with Chris. We didn't really talk to a lot of people who played with him in terms of the exit interviews, so we don't have a great sense of what life was like. I mean, we saw even his allies voted against him tonight. Yeah, even Seabass voted against him. So it just seems as though he did not have a true friend out there. So he might have been more unbearable than even the show portrayed.
I guess so. I mean, you know, and there is maybe a tendency in new player seasons more to like vote off people who are socially disruptive, and especially at the merge. I actually read an interesting theory on Reddit. User FFGCCRJ wrote,
love that.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to hear, because I thought this was really astute. I'm really curious to hear what you think. Merging at 13 forces people to play it safe, band together, and just target an outsider like Hallie or Michelle or an obvious big target. So I kind of think that's really interesting. Like the idea that because it's 13, because there's so many people, because there's so many different plots happening at the same time, like you can't keep it all straight in your head. And you're just like, okay, that guy, like he's a huge target. He's a big personality. He's kind of annoying. Let's get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know if there was another viable soft target that was out there. I mean, it was really a choice between Chris and these two guys that are super well connected with all the other players in the game. So I think that if you tried to attempt to get something going with 13 people, I mean, you've talked about it quite a bit from the Second Chances season that, you know, at the merge, everybody's buzzing, everybody's talking to everybody. I think it's probably kind of difficult to be able to pull off some sort of, alternate plan with all those people around and everybody watching you.
But there are plans, right? They could go along with Chris's plan, you know, and or they could go along with Kellen's plan, you know, which is, I mean, Kellen's plan is harder because there were four people there. And when you know, there's nine other people on the beach, it's going to be hard to be like the four of us should do something unless you're really certain that the other group is splitting the vote. But they could have gone along with Chris's plan and actually voted out Dom and Wendell. Like, and you know, some of them know when Dom has an idol, some of them, you know, think he doesn't. But with that in mind, like there are a lot of really good reasons to go along with that idea. And, you know, even when Wendell talks to Sebastian and Jenna and Libby on the beach, you know, Wendell's like, are you guys splitting votes on us? And they say, we're considering it.
Yeah. Who do you think it would have been in their best interest to go along with that plan, to go along with the Noble plan?
I think almost anyone. Well, I guess the point is like in a vacuum, right? If you're deciding like, do I want Dom or Wendell on this beach with me? You know, Dom and Wendell, both pretty strategic guys, both charismatic guys, you know, both fully capable of deceiving me versus Chris, you know, kind of irritating, probably, you know, doesn't tell a lie and doesn't, you know, well, probably won't win this game. I would always choose to have, right? Like, didn't we sort of like establish that rule? Like always keep the annoying player. I would always want to have in a vacuum, like Chris over Dom or Wendell. I mean, you're right. It comes down to like specifically who is in whose alliance over there, but like why, you know, how long, you know, it's hard with 13.
This is complicated. I think there's a lot of factors in play, but you have the five people who are the Malolos, and Dominic talked about tonight how he has an alliance of four, which is himself, Wendell, and Laurel, and Donathan, and two of those people are Malolos, and so that potentially Laurel and Donathan, they have connections with Michael and with Jenna and with Libby. And they're potentially looking at it. Okay, well, we're gonna ace this tribal because we're not gonna vote out a Malolo here, and we're gonna get rid of a Navidi that's not connected to the Navidi that we're with. And so you sort of are left with people like Angela and potentially Seabass who might have wanted to keep Chris, but they just know that the numbers aren't there to potentially go through with that plan.
I guess so. I mean, you know, I guess so. Again, like it really is hard to say when you have so many different, you know, when we don't really have an insight into, you know, who do you think it benefits to keep Dominic over Chris?
I think the Malolo people, I mean, are looking at it like, hey, we went into the merge down 8-5 and we didn't lose one of our numbers. Now it's 7-5. And so potentially if they're looking at it as Malolo reuniting together. And I think that they're saying like, look, there's a lot of big targets. You can only get rid of one person per tribal council. And so while Dominic and Wendell are probably better players, you got to get rid of these guys in some order. So Chris is also an immunity threat. Don't forget, you know, that we've sort of lost sight of, okay, typical merge boot. I mean, Chris is somebody who certainly fits that profile, and he didn't win immunity this time out. And you would think that he's got a pretty good chance to win immunity just about any other time out, which also I think adds to why it was such a terrible decision for him to not play the immunity idol, because he also had a shot at winning immunity this next time out.
But Wendell's got as good a shot, right? I mean, Wendell's performed incredibly well, and certainly when it comes to those carnival games, you know, Wendell is, it just aces them.
I mean, I think it's splitting hairs of like who would you rather, depending on what the competition is. But yeah, I think that he's a good, that Wendell could be win immunities.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about something about I've seen criticism for Wendell and Dominic. Why did they allow 10 people to go off with Chris Noble and not follow Chris Noble to the well?
Were you reading my Twitter feed?
Well, maybe you're one of the people. So you thought that was particularly poor on their part.
It's hard to say, like, because it's hard to like follow the exact narrative, because like they show up on the beach and they're kind of like, where is everybody? You know, there's a sense that it happened maybe somehow before they got there. Like maybe the two of them were doing some other errand and they didn't, you know, maybe they walked away for a brief confab and then they returned and everyone was sort of tromping up to the well. There's also like an element. I mean, I think I would have gone to the well if I were them. If I knew everybody was at the well, I'd be like, let's go up to the well and like see what's happening. You know, it's that rule of Survivor. They can't talk about you if you're there.
Yeah. I'll give those two guys the benefit of the doubt here. And I'll say that they may have been so confident in their allies and in the lack of ability from Chris that they may have just felt like, let Chris go have his meeting with 10 people. Laurel's going to tell us everything. Donathan's going to tell us everything. Kellen's going to tell us everything. So with that many people being in this little closed group, it's too many people to keep anything secret. So I think that maybe those guys might have been so secure, each of them with an idol, that they might have just said, okay, let Chris do what he wants to do here.
I mean, that's certainly possible. They didn't seem secure, like sitting there, you know. Dominic certainly seemed a little bit paranoid sitting there. I mean, Wendell seemed decently, you know, secure, but he seems to approach every situation with a lot of confidence. I mean, I don't think you're ever that secure on Survivor. You know, just it's when you start believing that someone is going to tell you the real plan that you get blindsided.
Yeah. I want to talk about the two votes that were for Libby tonight. And I think there's a couple of different possibilities as to why that was the case. We saw in the episode that I believe it was Desiree who was talking about that, okay, we should put the votes on Libby. And we saw the four Naviti women in that it was Kellen, Chelsea, Angela, and Desiree talking. Well, why don't we target one of the Malolo women? And why don't we make that person Libby that we could go after? Do you think that there were people that were left out of this plan in Desiree and Angela, who I believe were the two that voted for Libby? Were they left out of the plan of what was really going on, or were they in on the plan enough so that if Chris Noble did play his idol, if he had an idol, he has been to Ghost Island earlier in the game, that there would have been two votes on Libby and she could have gone home as opposed to the one person Chris voted for?
You know, I mean, it's really hard to see Desiree being left out of Kellen's plan. They've been together the entire game, right? Am I forgetting something? I think they've been together
the entire game. But if the original Naviti, that Desiree was somebody who was allegedly linked to the Chris side of things more than the Dominic side of things.
Yeah, I still think, I mean, that was, you know, I was, you know, 2 weeks ago. I still think it's hard to see Kellen leaving Desiree out of her plan. I mean, we can obviously all see Angela being left out of the plan to blindside her ally Chris. But Angela also had a quote this episode, which was something to the effect of, when I see that everyone is doing something, I'm going to get on that game plan, which almost sounded like she was excusing herself for something. And it certainly made sense when the, you know, unanimous vote almost came down for Chris. I think it's more likely that this was like the just in case backup plan of like, what if he has that miracle idol? Let's make sure we're not, you know, Andrew Savage out of this game. You know, it makes sense that Angela and then I guess Desiree too would be the ones who didn't want to write his name down, right? Like you can see Angela almost volunteering for that role. But it's possible they were left out. I mean, hard to say, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I would argue that I think that they were probably part of a backup plan, that it was only those two that ended up going through with it. And yeah, it does seem weird that Kellen would leave them out in the cold if that is ultimately what was going on. So I did think that there was a chance that maybe those four we're going to put votes on Libby. And maybe if Chris's idol got played, I could have seen a scenario where Libby was the one to go home. But I do think that basically those two were, you know, in on it, and they voted two votes on Libby just as a precaution in case Chris ended up playing an idol there. Steven, people have also I've seen over the episode tonight. Was it a bad idea for Kellen to come into this merge and win the first individual immunity?
You know, I almost tweeted that, and I was like literally about to be like, it's always about it. You shouldn't win the first immunity, draw the attention yourself. And I was like, that is so dumb. You know, like, you have no idea. I like to myself, I thought that's so dumb. Because, you know, when you're there, you really don't know how this vote is going to shake out. And so, like, then more than any point, well, at every point, you really want immunity. But, like, certainly at that merge tribal council where you really can't even begin to guess how all of these different factions are going to shake out until they start to shake out. I think it's it's not like, I mean, if she won the next two in a row, then there might be like, uh-oh, you know, she's really becoming like too much of a beast. But I don't think it ever makes sense to deliberately not win immunity in a situation like this where there's so much chaos and randomness. And yes, it does come with a downside where it does draw attention to her. There's no question. But like, far better for it to draw that attention to her than to be voted out.
Yeah, I didn't have any issue with it, especially coming on the heels of her closest ally in the game, potentially, in Bradley, being blindsided at the last tribal council. She has not voted. I don't think she hasn't ever voted with any of the original Navidi people, and outside of Chelsea. And she is now in this position. Well, I'm sorry, a sea bass or whatever. But you know what I'm saying? The original Navidi people like Dominic and Wendell. And so she's in this position that for all she knows, she could be the next one to be blindsided.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay. Steven, so many different parts of this episode to talk about. Let's go to Chris finds the buff, and wow, you knew when they were talking about like, oh, we had random seats and one of us would pick out a buff, you knew something was going to be under one of the
I didn't get it. I honestly, I was so in the moment that I didn't catch it.
Okay, so Chris ends up with the buff in, you know, perfect survivor fashion, and he ends up reading the thing. Okay, I have a chance to get away to Ghost Island to sneak off in a boat. Did you like the way that the show produces?
I loved it. There's something a little, the fact that it was truly random seating was great. I mean, you know, it's just like a moment of true, like it was just like a miracle, like a blessing from the survivor gods that it happened to wind up in Chris's hand, because, you know, he's like the person this episode I can't think of who else. I mean, you couldn't possibly like think of anybody else who you'd want it to be in. And then the fact that it was this late night boat trip, just like the mystery of it. I loved it. This little nighttime adventure in the middle of the show, drawing him away. And then when he comes back, he's exhausted and cranky the next day. It was so perfect.
Yeah. So that was really fun. He goes there. He gets the JT cursed idol. Somehow they dug up wherever JT left it. And so he gets the idol, and now he gets a chance to play a very unusual game. And, you know, I did like this more than what we've done previously on Ghost Island, because this did feel a little bit like it was a game. And it's a little bit like the game on The Price is Right, where you get to punch the wall, and then, you know, Bob Barker or Drew Carey like sticks his hand in. Okay, all right, so you got here. Now you can vote at this tribal council or next tribal council. You're going to keep this or go back to the board? Mm-hmm. And I did think he was pressing his luck here a little bit, and it did come up with a whammy in that he got no vote.
Well, the worst was, you know, he got like such a mixed blessing of lucky and unlucky. He would have been so much more lucky if he hadn't gotten that first, you know, lucky thing. If he had been forced to play, if the other 50%, that's the crazy thing about Survivor, right? It was a 50% chance thing. If he had picked the other one and he'd gotten no vote straight off the bat, he would have been forced to play the idol at this tribal council, and he'd still be there. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know, Libby would have gone home.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a crazy thing. Do you hope to see more of that at Ghost Island, or do you like that as sort of like a one-time merge thing?
I mean, the fun of it, it's definitely like the adventure, the freshness, the fun of it. I mean, you wouldn't want to see like a late night trip every episode. What do you think?
Well, I don't know that I wouldn't mind seeing that. I mean, to me, that's more interesting that than the, you know, pick a shell like of the, you know, two out of three shells have an advantage and one doesn't. I kind of like the idea of, OK, here's the thing. And maybe like you get a term limit based on, you know, sort of like the deal or no deal, open a suitcase.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
So I thought that was fun. Steven, let's talk about Wendell voting tonight at Tribal Council.
People are
talking about it. Perhaps the new greatest Survivor confessional of all time.
Do you think, is Casey Kasem the previous, the record holder?
I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that.
You want someone else to say it though.
People can say whatever they want. but I just said that it was a bit of a throwback to me. Because that I don't feel like that there have been many memorable Tribal Council voting, memorable voting confessionals in the last couple of seasons. I think it's been a minute. I think it's sort of like a throwback to Survivor's glory days to even have these.
Yeah, I mean, certainly one this long. You know, there have been like a few funny, like Abby Maria called Joe Anglem a moldy clown. Mm-hmm. You know, Courtney obviously mocked Coach's hair feathers, but this really went on for a long, this was like a lot of screen time, you know, this was like a lot of value. CBS primetime gave like Wendell like this huge amount of airtime just to like ridicule Chris. Was it cruel? I thought it was hilarious, but was it cruel?
Cruel to what? His rapping?
Yeah, like this guy. He's
No, he's not a good rapper.
Well, you know, he thinks he's a good rapper.
I have to go back and listen to it again. But no, it was really incredible. Really, really fun and well done. And so I thoroughly enjoyed it because I can't think of, and maybe the chat room can assist us, a super memorable voting confessional like in the last 5 years that's anything like that.
Yeah, I certainly nothing that long. I think I'm trying to think of anything like where they really just let
somebody had
rip.
A sick burn or called somebody a name here or there, but to have like a like something prepared like that in the voting confessional, I thought it was great.
Yeah, Benry and the dirt squirrel. It's not really. It's not really.
And that was in Survivor 21. So
yeah,
even if you want to go back to the salad days of the dirt squirrel, then you know that's still 15 seasons ago.
Is dirt squirrel salad days a viable hashtag, or is that too long?
I think so. Okay. All right. So we're going to get your questions coming up here in a minute. Hashtag RHAP. And then, of course, you can post your questions in the chat. Where'd you go with the fishy tonight, Steven? Did you go with Dominic?
I did Dom and Wendell. I felt like this really actually gave as much credit to Wendell as it did to Dom. Certainly Dominic led the charge for Chris. But Wendell, I got the sense of like, all the, you know, classic Survivor duo here where you see them, they meet up, they strategize between themselves and they each go off to their different groups, like bring the plan together. And then, and they also kept each other a little sane, you know, like when Dom was kind of freaking out, Wendell was like, don't worry, we've got this under control. And I feel like that is one of the really unacknowledged elements of a great Survivor duo is just that sort of like keeping each other sane when, you know, the entire tribe is off at the well talking about you. So I love them. I love both of them. I'm really excited to watch more of both of them. And both of them get the fishy.
Yeah.
But the producers could get a fishy too. Like, you know, I know you always, you know, belittle and mock me when I give the fishy to the producers, but this would be the episode.
But you give an award for the best strategic play. If I understand the exercise here, that it should go to somebody who's playing the game. It's not like on SportsCenter, they say, okay, and the star of the night, the umpires. Whoa, what a job. Everybody was safe. They made all the right calls. So great job to the umpires and the groundskeepers as well, keeping the field nicely manicured. Great job tonight, guys.
Look, some episodes there's like legitimately.
Oh, what a star.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I want to actually, one other thing I want to talk about, going back to Dominic. I'm glad I tickled you so much.
No rebuttal. I can't rebut.
Oh, you wanted a rebuttal to that.
Yes. I want to rebut. Yeah. You know, some episodes, there's just no good strategy to talk about. And also, it's a made up reward, a reward of no value.
Okay.
Anyway, all right, so you're going to say Dominic.
Yeah. So going back to Dominic, I talked about how I didn't really like when he, you know, revisited the whole situation with Chris at Tribal Council. What did you think about him taking out the fake immunity idol, wearing it on his neck, but then he played the legacy advantage? What did you think about all of that? Is that too showy, or did you feel like that it was all part of the master plan?
I actually loved that move. And again, like, I'm giddy about Dominic, and you're a little more skeptical. So, like, rein me in here, Rob. But here's why I loved it, right? Throughout a lot of the episode, you see Dominic trying to convince people that he doesn't have a real idol. You know, Chris is telling everyone, Dom's got an idol. And Dominic keeps saying, oh, come on, I don't have an idol. Like, I have this stupid shell on a string. So, you know, but there's still a lot of ambiguity. Like, does Chris know something we don't know? Does Dom really have an idol? So for Dominic to pull out that idol and be like, look at this magical idol, and then for Chris to confirm, yes, that's the idol I saw, you know, and basically proves that he doesn't have an idol, even though he actually does have an idol.
I thought Chris said, no, that's the shell. That's not the real idol.
Oh, no. I thought he said, yeah, it's like a shell on a that's a shell on a string. Because that's the idol. No,
that's the shell on the string. But I think that's
a crucial difference. But that's the idol he showed Chris.
That is the idol he showed Chris. But Chris said, I don't believe that you had this. You found this or you didn't have a thing. And then you said you found the thing. I thought that Chris was correctly skeptical about all this. Again, I'll rewatch all of that and make sure that we have it right.
Yeah, we got to get that. That's important. Thursday.
But I did think that Chris was not buying into what Dominic was selling there at that tribal council.
Well, either way, I thought he was, I mean, to me, like, he was trying, what that display did in my mind was like show the rest of the tribe that this alleged idol of his was not a real idol. It does seem like it's going to depend largely on our parsing of Chris's response, you know, how effective it was, or, you know, how smart it was. But so you didn't like it. You thought it was too much showmanship.
I just feel like, and I love all of Dominic's, his strategy, but I think that there's too much flash there for me right now. And I just wonder if it's the kind of thing that he's going to potentially get caught up. Like, is he doing too much?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like he's got that, you know, you certainly said, you know, and I agreed with you last week, he's got that sort of overplayer-itis, you know, in throwing it, whether or not he in fact threw a challenge to vote out Bradley, you know, there's a lot of like extraneous moves there that he doesn't necessarily need to make. Does Dominic's move this week give credibility to his decision last week to vote out Bradley?
You mean to then take out Chris this week?
Well, the fact, I just like Dominic's situation in the game at the merge, does it validate his decision to vote out Bradley?
I mean, I don't know if those two things are necessarily connected, but in terms of like everything that we've heard, and Dominic also had an interview with Dalton Ross, and he talks about why he felt like he was threatened by Bradley and wanted to go after him. So if he looked at Bradley as somebody to go after down the road, if he didn't have an opportunity to vote out Chris, then I do think that it made sense for him in his mind to take out the target that he thought was maybe a viable end game or potential winner of the game in Bradley at a point when he could not go after Chris.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that I thought was, you know, we discussed a little bit last week, like, why on earth would Dominic do this? One possibility that we discussed was the idea that part of the reason was to build this alliance with the Malolos. You know, yes, he's not voting out Libby, but he's also solidifying his bond with Donathan. And that bond with Donathan seemed to be really important tonight. You know, Donathan was the one who came back from the well and was like, here's what's going on. Donathan was the one who, you know, suggested that Libby and Jenna were trying to, I think that he said, like, bluff him up or something. Now, granted, Libby and Jenna did vote with him, but it really seems like Donathan is kind of, Dom's mole here. So to that end, like, in the way that like Bradley might not be that play that role for Donathan.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to get to your questions in just a bit. Let me just take a moment and talk about a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Microsoft Teams.
Oh.
Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork in Office 365. Microsoft Teams is a digital workspace where teams can create, collaborate, and communicate authentically, just like they would in the real world. And boy, if Chris Noble could have been able to communicate with his team of people at the well in an easier fashion, you would think that there would be a greater chance of success for Chris Noble, Stephen.
Well, that's what I'm saying with this merge of 13 people. You got this group over there, this group over there, this group over there. If you just had one central place where you all could communicate, it would be so much simpler to get on the same page.
Yep. With so much to look after, wouldn't it be great if there was just one place to look? That's where Microsoft Teams comes in. It's the single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with the people in your work life. Teams brings people together. You might even say merges your chats, your meetings, your files, and your apps all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and for desktop. So whether you're sprinting towards a deadline or sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. Microsoft Teams is in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn more. Okay, let's get to our questions.
Oh, fun.
Stephen.
Okay. I love the questions.
Here we go. Libby wants to know, can we maybe cut Chris a drop of slack for not playing his idol simply because it was his first ever tribal council and he had no experience reading the room? Okay, should we go easy on him, Stephen?
I do feel like Chris got a really rough episode of Survivor tonight, and I do feel sort of bad for the guy. Like, he, you know, you know that you're never going to look that awesome when you're voted out, but he was made to look pretty ridiculous. Hey, someone on Twitter noticed or mentioned that Chris, like Nick Majorano, voted out at his first tribal council in the game. Male models not doing so well at that crucial merge tribal council.
Yes. No, that is a thing. I believe RC St. Amour and Jessica Johnston, I think, also are in that club. The Mount Rushmore of people who get voted out of their first tribal council after the merge. Stephen, no, I will not cut Chris Noble any slack because, as we've mentioned, yes, it was his first tribal council ever. What better reason than to say, hey, let me play an idol because I'm not sure what I'm doing. He had an idol that he could have played either at that tribal council or the next one. He heard somebody literally go into the voting booth and say his name very loudly. That same person gave an impassioned plea why everybody should vote him out. That person also played a legacy advantage, which is sort of going back to advantage get in. You know, when one advantage comes out, you really need to be thinking about putting your other advantage out. Same thing happened with Jeremy and with Kelly Wentworth back at the final six in Second Chances. So if you have an advantage and you're not sure about whether you should play it and other people start playing their advantages, I think you should strongly consider playing your advantage.
Yeah. Look, Chris was not a good Survivor player. He was a great Survivor character.
Yeah. Yes. Better or worse in terms of the long term legacy, Chris Noble or Drew Christie?
Wow, that's tough. Drew, the thing about Drew is he's got those iconic faces, you know, those iconic tribal council faces. And, Chris I don't think Chris is going to deliver like that. But, you know, maybe he will on the jury.
I think he will. Yes. And he gets the jury. I think long term, I think Chris Noble is the more memorable figure in and beloved figure in Survivor history than even Drew Christie.
Yeah, I think he's going to find a lot of love from the community, too. Like, just yes. Because, you know, like, oh, like, tell me a rap. And you've got a coach resisted it for a while. Coach really was like, because there was so much antagonism towards him. But then when Coach like leaned into it and started giving everyone Dragon Slayer names, like, Chris has just got to like start rapping for people, and then people are going
to
love him.
Let me just also, before we get back to the questions let me lean on your experience here a little bit. When you came into the merge in Survivor Token Chains and you were in this similar situation to the Malolos where you're down in the numbers and now here is this divided group in the Navidi, and then you have on one side, you have I don't know if you can make the Chris Noble to Coach comparison, and then you have the probably more reasonable Brendan side of things. You guys went with the kookier side of things. with Coach. Was there any sort of talk there, or was it just that the Coach had more numbers?
Part of it was the numbers. I mean, honestly, like, we would have been the numbers either way, I believe. But part of it, a lot of it was how trustworthy Coach was. But actually, I think what it came down to was, like, we were so down on the numbers that we seemed to have this desperate scenario. And it was just like, who do we want to be around more? Like, who's going to be more fun to play this game with? And it was like Brendan and Sierra, or, you know, Tyson and Coach. And, you know, I feel like everyone would make the decision that I made. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what happened here too, right? Which is like, we just like being around Wendell and Dominic more. And there is this feeling, you know, especially after the merge of like, hey, we're all sharing this amazing, incredible thing. Like, let's like do that together. Let's be awesome. And then if like someone's kind of poisonous to that, you know, that you kind of want to get rid of them. Not that Brendan was, but you know.
Steve, what does Matt have to say?
All right, Matt wants to know, why did Angela and Desiree vote for Libby? Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Steve and I are on the same page. We think that they were the extra votes that were cast against somebody just in case of Chris played an idol, that his one vote wasn't going to ultimately decide who went home in a group of 13 people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What about Jonah? Jonah Dwyer wants to know, is Michael the biggest winner from tonight's vote? He now has Wendell and Dom ahead of him as two juicy targets and still has an idol.
Yeah. So just to update the advantage board, Dominic still has a immunity idol. Wendell still has an immunity idol. Michael still has an immunity idol. Kellen has an extra vote. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
Chris has an idol as well. But yeah, he ended up going home with it. So luckily, and then we cross off the legacy advantage off the board. So currently, I believe there are four active idols/advantages in the game. Steven, where does the target shift next week? I mean, it could go in a couple of different ways that you have the opportunity. Okay, Seabass was somebody who was a Chris loyalist. I think he smartly voted against Chris at this last vote. So I think that there is potentially a target on his back. Angela, again, somebody who was another Chris loyalist, but yet she did also potentially participate in the plot to get rid of him. Kellen kind of has her numbers. You have Dominic and Wendell who are out in front, but they also have these ties to Laurel and to Donathan. So where does the target go from here?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the classic thing is when you have this big rivalry, the target bounces back to the other party, right? Like, and they kind of tease that in the episode in the coming next week. I mean, those are always hard to truly trust. Like, does it go back now to Dom now that Dom's got one point? You know, it's a common thing. I mean, I don't even know who would be the obvious person now that Chris is gone. You know, the Navidis did talk, right? Part of the reason they wanted Chris out was because they entered this merge being like, let's vote out a Malolo. It's the sensible thing to do. And then Chris Dom feud got in the way of that. So with Chris gone, like, maybe they do that Malolo vote. Maybe Libby is the next target. But it's a really interesting point about how now Michael has kind of dodged a bullet a little bit. And, you know, someone had a confessional. I think it was like Libby and Jenna. It was somebody, I don't remember who it was exactly, who was saying like, maybe it was the Navidi women by the well, you know, oh, should we vote out Michael? Nah, he's such an obvious target. Let's not even target him, which is like such a great rationale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that his biggest problem right now is that he just does not have any ties to Dominic and Wendell, who seem like they are sort of these power brokers who are seen as sort of like the two guys who are at the top of things. You have other people who potentially are just as powerful, but I do feel like that the group sees those two as potential, the pilot and co-pilot of what's going on at the merge.
Yeah, and it sure seems like, I mean, people acknowledge them as a threat and they acknowledge them as like a powerful pair, but you know, are they gonna be able to do anything about it? You know, that alliance of Wendell, Dominic, Donathan and Laurel has got a lot of legs, right? Because they've all been spread out across all of these different tribes. And I think that really is some of the power of that group, is that they, if they truly are an alliance, and by the way, like one of the best alliances of all time, if they do are a tight foursome.
Who's one of the best alliances of all time?
Wendell, Dominic, Donathan and Laurel.
I think it's a little early for that.
I'm just saying, like, those are like four incredible characters.
Voted out one person.
I don't mean like most successful, just like most exciting, you know, in terms of like the four players, not like that they've done some incredible strategic feats.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, it's only day 22.
Who do you realistically think is going to be targeted next week?
I think it's going to be Sebastian. I really think that all roads lead to him in my mind, because he's somebody who doesn't have a lot of ties to. I mean, although he did, Wendell did bring the thing to him, the shell. So we did see at least some interaction between him and Wendell. But I just think that he's a little bit of an outlier, and that he's a big immunity threat, and he's somebody who doesn't have super close ties, I don't think, to the power brokers.
Yeah, I could still see it being Libby, you know.
I could see that too.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think that the problem for somebody like a Laurel or like a Kellen is right now that those two guys that we're talking about in Dominic and Wendell also both have hidden idols that they know about, that some of Dominic's allies know about his idol. Only I think Dominic knows about Wendell's idol.
Yeah, I wanted to do like, can you remind me who knows about what? Am I right that nobody knows about Kellen? We don't know for sure, right?
Well, we don't, and I don't remember who, because Dominic has shown people the fake idol. He's also shown people the real idol. And he's also, I believe he showed Laurel in the episode when he had the real idol. Did Laurel tell anybody that he had the real idol? I don't know. But did he use the idol in the way that you're so fond of like, hey, this is the idol, let's make an alliance out of this? And is that sort of the bond that alliance of four that you're talking about is sort of built on? And then everybody else has seen the fake idol, and that Dominic has sort of feels like, okay, I've sort of like cleansed the palate. Oh, everybody see, I had that fake idol, that idol you were talking about. So I have no idol. It's been proven.
Right. And then I think, yeah, like Laurel and maybe Donathan as well know about his real idol. I mean, and again, like whenever these guys come off the show and they do their exit interviews, they're like, oh yeah, we all knew about Kellen's extra vote. She told us all. Of course we all knew about that. And like, are they telling the truth or not? Like, who knows?
Who knows? Okay. Steven, so much ground we've covered tonight. What about Joshua?
All right, Joshua wants to know, do you guys think it's a sign the Malolo Five will not stick together when Donathan told Dom not to trust Libby and Jenna?
Morgan said, don't trust the cute blonde. Donathan was there. He remembers.
I like the idea of that little scene with Libby and Jenna where they were like, no one's targeting us. Let's just, you know, roll with the flow and pick off people as we like. I thought that could be a really fun alliance too. The only danger is that, you know, no, like you're saying about Sebastian, who's on his side, who's on Libby's side? I mean, I guess Jenna is. And we see, you know, maybe Libby, well, Jenna, and Sebastian are a thing.
I think a week ago we would have said that Donathan and Libby are a two based.
Yeah, but now.
Yeah. Now Donathan's like, don't tell Libby anything. So, yeah, it's hard to say. But I just think that going back to the first couple of votes at Malolo, that I think that Jenna and Libby are tight. And I think that Libby is with Jenna, who's a conduit to Sebastian, who I think they felt like was connected to Chris. So I think that was the concern about telling Libby anything.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take some more questions. John Densford, now that Chris is gone, what in the hell does Dom have left to talk about? Yeah. He's got to set his sights on a new target.
Yeah.
He's like Captain Ahab.
Well, you know, Dom had this really revealing interview with Dalton Ross. And if you haven't read it, I really suggest you go read it. Because even though, you know, the events of the merge have passed, I thought Dom did such a great job of kind of capturing what the experience, you know, his experience of the first half of the show was. And one of the things that he said that I loved was, you know, one of the reasons he spoke up at Tribal, at that first challenge, was he was just restless and wanted to say something. And so he wanted, you know, he had been sitting in Ponderosa for 7 days, and this was the first thing that was happening, and he wanted to be a part of it. And I thought that really captured both the psychology of every contestant, but also like his specific psychology so well. And I do think that he's going to need to have a new thing happening.
Yeah. So what do you think that thing will be?
I don't know. That's the question.
Yeah. So
we'll find out.
We'll see. Derek says, did everyone know at Tribal that Chris had no vote, so they made the vote easy tonight? Yeah. Is that possible? Did Chris Noble then come back and tell everybody, I've got no vote tonight, guys?
Oh boy, that's a good ask him that. That's a great question. Like, if people knew he didn't have a vote, because we speculated about how it would be revealed at Tribal Council. We found out tonight, just wasn't read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That it would be funny if they read the somebody got no vote tonight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would be interesting, right? Because
they should do that.
I kind of think they should do that too, because it does reveal that someone
knew he went to Ghost Island.
Yeah.
So, or you know, maybe they did know he went to Ghost Island. That would be a real, like, that would help, like, things make a lot of sense if also that somebody of the 13 or of the other 12 realized, yeah, Chris, you know, Chris was gone the whole night, and then we saw him walking back up the beach in the morning.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, do you remember how aware you are of the other people? Like, you're aware sort of people next to you.
There's so many people. If he's gone that long, I think that there's a real chance that somebody noticed he was missing and then was like, hey guys, Chris was gone the whole night.
Yeah, I kind of think so too, because people have pretty set spots in the shelter, but at 13 it's possible that no one would notice because it's not that ossified yet. It's possible no one would notice.
Yeah, but somebody is probably awake of the, because I feel like there's so many people, somebody has to be awake all hours of the night, right?
Yeah, I'm very curious to find out.
And also, I think that would help add some fuel to why there were the two votes that were the Libby votes as well at that tribal council, just in case he was playing.
He got something.
And I think it might also add that basically if Dominic felt like that they had Chris in like checkmate, I think that also probably would help like explain some of the things that he did at that tribal council.
What do you mean if they had him in checkmate?
They were so bold and so brazen about voting out Chris and talking about the things like if there was and yes, Dominic did play the legacy advantage, but that's again one of these things where, I mean, you might as well play it now at 13 because you know, if there's a chance. But I just think that if they knew they just had him so dead to rights, then I think that, you know, then there is very little risk that something was going to go wrong.
Yes.
Okay. Michael wants to know, was it smart for Libby when the majority to vote for Libby when the majority was voting for Chris? Were they left out of the plan? No. Steven and I both think that they were in on the plan.
Yeah. I will find out for sure. But I definitely think that at least I would be shocked if Desiree wasn't in on the plan. And it also makes sense that you would have, you know, the one person you really trust doing that thing that's so crucial.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Steven. What about Chrissy Hoffbach?
All right, Chrissy Hoffbach wants to know, did the Outback Steakhouse stop sponsoring Survivor? I don't know.
No, I think that what the reason was, it was too expensive to pay for steaks for 13 people. They said, like, we got to wait till later on in the season. We're only going to buy steaks for like 6 people.
Yeah, shipping steaks is tricky.
Look, those guys, a lot of people get very hungry. Merge feasts is expensive to cater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beckett wants to know, is this the first cast member ever to leave without ever voting? No, I believe you have Wanda, you have Jonathan. Has anybody else left? Courtney Moon left without voting. So there's been other people that have been medically evacuated that have left without voting. So
has anyone been voted out of the game without ever voting?
I don't believe so. I believe that Chris is also the answer to a Survivor trivia question.
Hey, that's the dream. That's all you can ask for. You know, that and $1 million.
What, to be voted out without ever casting a vote?
No, to be, you know, to have some like little trivial thing that distinguishes you.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I'm the only person to get 0 votes in a final 2.
Okay. Yeah. So far.
So I think that's going to, that record will probably hold.
Okay. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
What about Felipe? Do you think that Libby will try to come after Desiree and one of them might go next tribal council, or is Laurel flipping on Wendell and Dom and they're in trouble next tribal? How do you think Libby's going to handle, hey, I got 2 votes. What, WTF?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It's certainly, you never like to know that you're the decoy boot or the default boot or the backup boot. You know, it certainly suggests that people aren't taking you or Alliance seriously. I don't think Laurel's going to flip. I mean, from what we've seen of Laurel, like all we've seen of her story, right, is that she's with Dom. Have we seen like a significant, I mean, she was with James, I guess, obviously not true anymore.
She did not love Chris Noble either.
Yeah, that's true. Did not like Chris, was very anti-Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Laurel, I just think is in this tough spot right now where she's with these two guys that have the hidden immunity idol, and you would think that if she's going to win, she's got to get rid of them. They're sort of blocking her, but how does she pull that off?
Yeah,
that's it's almost like that. her move is like she's got to defect against those guys and, you know, go and find a different coalition along the way. But then it's going to be like if she goes too far with those guys, people are going to potentially look at her as that she did not carry her weight because those other two are so vocal, unless they just absolutely love her, which we haven't seen on the show.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, I was in that situation and it's terrible. You're like, I can't vote out the people who are my best allies in this game, but I have to distinguish myself in some way to win. Mm-hmm. So I agree. Like Laurel is going to have to step out from under that shadow if she wants to really win the game.
Yeah. It's sort of like one of these situations where it's like you're almost kind of rooting for one of those guys to get picked off because then that sort of like opens up a path for her.
Yeah. I mean, how soon? Let's say you're Laurel, Rob, and you're in the situation. Like, let's just say you're Laurel and you're tightly bonded to Dominic and Wendell.
Yeah.
And how soon do you make that move?
I think that you're really thinking about it heading into 7, but I kind of feel like that in the post Tony era, maybe you're thinking about it when you get to 9.
Yeah, I think now it has to be like 9. I think that's the spot. But then you're like, you know, that the danger is then you've like betrayed your alliance. So the rest of your alliance hates you. Mm-hmm. The other people don't have any affection for you. I mean,
were you thinking about it at 9 where it's like, okay, well, maybe I got to get me and Donathan. And so it's like, maybe they're not just looking at me as somebody like when at the point where, you know, Tyson was working with Aris, you know, had a couple people end up switching things up, but we'll see. All right. Let's take a couple more questions here. We've covered so much ground. Stack, do you think that Dom pulling out the fake idol and saying that he was going for Chris, that everyone was just done with the drama and decided to get rid of one of the rivalry? Most people didn't know it was fake. So did that come into the outcome? I need to rewatch this tribal council again, but I think that in Dominic's mind, that's what's going on there. Hey, everybody, see, this was a fake. I don't know, you've been hearing so much about it. It was a fake.
I do think there's a lot of talk of Dom's idol in this episode, right? So, you know, is it a fake? Is it actually a real one? There is a possibility that part of the reason that they chose to vote out Chris is because like they didn't want to even deal with the mystery of Dom's idol. Like, let's, you know, Dom knows he's part of this scenario. Like, let's hopefully he'll play his idol. You know, like, you know, you have Sebastian, Jenna, and Libby saying, like, we're thinking of voting you guys out. So maybe they're hoping to flush the idol, but they don't want to put the votes there. You know, they want to put the votes on Chris, so they get one guy out. And it's possible the idol played a part.
I mean, there definitely were people at that tribal council, I'm sure, hoping that Dominic would flush an idol or would waste an idol at that tribal council.
Yeah.
Okay. Steven, what does Noah have to say?
Noah asks, are the players still thinking about the final four fire twist? Are they practicing their fire making skills? Rob Sesternino.
That word still is a loaded word. We have no idea if they were ever thinking about this. And I still say about last season, you know, the players like, oh, we would have done things differently. I don't know if anybody would have changed the way that they were voting people out in that season had they known that it was going to come down to fire at the final four, because the guy that they were trying to get rid of, they were trying to vote him out from 7 and they had to get rid of him.
And the guy who lost that fire making challenge was like the best fire maker. So it was, hey, do you think the chore chart ended up playing a decisive role in this season so far?
Probably.
I think so too. Okay. Man, what if that really changed everything? Like, you know, the whole thing, though, this big twist at the start of the season about how like we're reducing their rations and they're going to be forced to keep the providers around, that has sort of had basically no impact as far as I can tell.
No, it's not the kind of thing I think that you would see happen in modern day Survivor. Simmons wants to know, is Chris the first jury member?
I missed it.
Yeah, I believe he is, because I see so much talk about Chris's Ponderosa video in the chat room. People are talking about one of the greatest Ponderosa videos. So we'll be sure to check that out. So, yes, look for Chris on the jury.
Yeah, well, that's exciting. I think he'll be a fun juror.
Okay, and let's do this. Why don't we do this as the last question? Christian Country Boy wants to know, why not keep both Chris and Dominic in the game? As long as the cats and dogs fight, the mice can run free. Of course, the mice would have to vote out one mouse in this case, but still playing the odds the right way. God bless. Okay, thank you, Christian Country Boy. See, I just don't know if any of the so-called mice really had the wherewithal and the pull to be able to execute a plan that was going to go up against those two power players in Wendell and Dominic.
Yeah, and it's just like when, you know, when something is so toxic to camp life, you kind of want to... I'm shocked that it was as bad as it was. You know, I've certainly seen some big rivalries, but the fact that, like, those two just could not stop talking about each other, you know, there's an element on Survivor where you're just like, oh my God, like, leave me alone. No. You know, can I just, like, nap to right now? And so that probably, you know, there, I think probably a lot more decisions are made just based on quality of life than we think. Hey, I've got a question for you, Rob. Like, yes. how much is Chris being on the jury going to hurt Dominic's possible chances in a final tribal? I mean, we talk a lot about how the mayor of the jury, you know, really sets the tone and can really, you know, he's the guy who greets everybody coming in. He can really poison the entire jury against Dominic.
Possibly. But he could also be one of these people. And again, it seemed like that they kind of left on good terms. Like he kind of like he didn't give like stiff arm him on the way out. But it could be one of these things where Chris, that we have talked about his social graces and his inability to sort of read a room, that if he's at Ponderosa all day long talking about how much Dominic sucks, it might make people feel better about Dominic.
I don't know. I've been at one of those Ponderosas and you do not, I mean, you just basically avoid bringing up that person, you know, just because you don't want to like antagonize, you know, that person. I do think it could actually negatively impact Dominic's chances in the end, because like just that there's that element of, oh my God, like let's not even talk about him. I think that Chris thought it was less in good fun than Dominic did. You know, Dominic kind of played it off like, oh, me and my buddy Chris, we're battling it out. Let me tell my story. And Chris like, fine, tell whatever you want. I don't care. You know, like I thought Dominic sort of thought of it as more of like a friendly battle of the Titans more than Chris did.
Okay. It remains to be seen. And we'll see what he has to say at the Ponderosa, Stephen.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to talk about this episode? This is like a, again, I said at the top of the show, an all timer, long know it alls tonight going into everything.
Great episode, though. Great, great know it alls, Rob, for a great episode. And hey, great job tonight.
Yes. Great job to you too, Stephen Fishback.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. So we got a lot of different things to get into coming up. Here's a little bit of what's coming up the next couple of days. We've got, okay. First things first, in the morning, Taryn Armstrong is going to be back live getting you ready for Thursday on the Big Brother live feed update. Then we'll get to the exit interview where Chris Noble will join me to discuss everything that happens. I'm sure that will be a lot of fun to catch up with Chris. And then on Thursday night, be on the lookout for Taryn and the LFC gang to talk about the big next eviction. Find out if the twist is going to get used. Steve, you think Canada is going to use the twist to save somebody this week?
I think so. I think people like to use the twist.
That's what I said too. I think that they are. I think that Canada can't resist taking somebody down off the block. So we'll see what happens. They have the option to not do anything. So we'll see what happens on Thursday night. And then of course, check out who goes out of the Big Brother Canada house, whoever it may be, they'll be with Taryn Armstrong on Friday the 13th. For the Big Brother Canada 6 exit interview. And then I will speak with Hannah Shapiro here in the studio. You can send questions into that show, survivor@robiswebsite.com. And then this weekend, be sure to look for Nick Yadanza here with me on the Survivor Feedback Show. Get your feedback questions.
It'll be hard to see him. It'll be hard to tell.
It'll be very hard to tell, especially if you listen to the podcast. That'll be very difficult.
Yeah. Your voices are definitely different.
Okay. And then also, you want to get it even deeper into Rob Has a Podcast, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Find out more about what we're doing behind the scenes of Rob Has a Podcast and in the Rob Has a Podcast community of robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information on that. And Steven, in just 2 weeks from tonight, you and I are going to be in Boston, Massachusetts.
No! What?
Yeah.
Oh, I have plans.
Okay. Yeah. The toughest ticket in town will be at Laugh Boston 2 weeks from tonight.
I saw like tickets on like StubHub for like $400.
People, look, we do that. We thumbs down for the people that are selling those tickets on the aftermarket sites. Not cool.
How much? How much do you think a ticket for a co-host could go for?
For to take your seat?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably at least
$500. Yeah. Exactly. Less. Yeah.
You have to do a lot of talking.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Like, you know, like sitting back and like hanging out the whole night.
Yeah, it's stressful up there. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a really fun night. And Nikki Adonza will be there. So like, who knows who will start the podcast, whether it'll be you or Nikki Adonza.
Oh, what a prank we could pull on the audience, Stephen. Nobody will know. Nobody will be able to tell. Sorry. All right. Follow Stephen Fishback on Twitter as well to get this week's People blog. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.
Bye.